This is the School Success Podcast, a podcast for school leaders to learn from other school leaders what's working and what's not, and to get inspiration and encouragement, as well as strategies to grow school enrollment, connect with families, retain teachers, recruit teachers, and everything in between. You guys are heroes, and I cannot thank you enough for pouring into this next generation that's coming behind us. My goal is you will take at least one thing away from every episode that you can take back to your school to make it better than it is right now. Please enjoy the School Success Podcast. Hey, school success makers, before we jump into today's episode, I just want to give you guys a quick heads up for today's episode. We did run into some technical difficulties when recording and when pulling off of the servers for today's episode. So it's not going to be as clean as it usually is. And I did want to just give you guys a heads up because we want to do all these things as much as possible with excellence and make sure it is as best quality as possible. But when we were pulling it, and during recording, there was just some different internet fluctuations that we had to deal with, unfortunately, that will obviously come over into the episode. So just giving you guys a heads up, but hope you guys enjoy and still learn something from today's episode. So and stay tuned. Hey, school success makers, welcome to another edition of the School Success Podcast. I'm your host, Mitchell Slater. I'm joined by a new friend, Jack Appleby, who is an educational consultant with Global Vision Christian School. And he's doing some really cool things, has a great background in education. And when I was talking with him, he was talking about international students and how schools can attract some of those overseas to come over to their school. And I was like, well, wait, we've never had an episode on that type of content before, and thought it would be a really fun one to dive into that world and what it would look like for you guys. So excited for this episode today. Before we jump in, as always, I'm going to pass it off to my guest to introduce himself. So Jack, today, sir, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for being invited. I consider it a real treat to be invited anywhere anymore and to be able to talk about what I've done most of my life. I've been in education all my life. I've been in the classroom since 1973, so you can do the math. It's a pretty long time. And I've been in every position you can be in, from superintendent all the way up to head of schools to being a consultant now, sharing my experiences. My strength is the fact that I've had so many experiences, and I've gotten to have experiences that most people wouldn't have, such as international education. Never anticipated that in my whole career, this particular area. So it's an exciting time. And if any time in our history that education is important, it is now. In fact, it is probably one of the most politically hot potatoes that you can talk about. I mean, we can pick topics and it can just, you can go wild. So I think it's critical, and we need to get back to our roots. And so I'm anxious to talk to you about whatever you want to.
I love it. Well, I'm going to start with a fun one, because I always start with this question is, if I was to visit where you were at, I know you're in Pennsylvania. It's like are you in like Waterfall?
Waterfall, Pennsylvania. It's a little village. It only has a few houses. You would only find yourself there if you were lost. You would not go there on purpose, but it's my home, and it's where I grew up, and it's very that takes care of our area. Graduates about 30 kids a year. This is a public school, so you can imagine how sparsely populated we are. My wife and I drive an hour any direction if we want to go to a major grocery store or a doctor or something. So we live in the country, but I love it out here, and that's been my home. And also, it's been part of the reasons for my success is when I left school and came home, I came home. And I think that helped my wife and I survive the traumas of being a principal and all the hassles and all the stuff you have to deal with. And I didn't receive very many parent calls because I was on a different phone network. And so I think in all my years, I only had one call that ever got through to me. So that tells you how countrified we are here.
Man, well, I always say, if I was to go visit where you were at, what would you say I have to do and what I'd have to eat? But it sounds like there's no restaurants in Waterfall, Pennsylvania.
There are none. There are no restaurants. You have to drive. We do have a dollar store now, which is a and for us. So we have a dollar store and maybe I think one gas station that we could drive to that would be reasonable, but no, it's if you come visit me, you're coming to the country. My wife and I are lucky that we live on 50 acres. So you can get imagine that we don't have any close neighbors.
Well, I love it. I'm all about the that homestead life, I feel like. So it sounds like I got to move to Waterfall, Pennsylvania. I'm sure my wife won't go for that one, being an hour away from everything. But
no, if she wants Starbucks or something like that, she would definitely miss it.
Well, as we dive into the content today, Jack, I was really intrigued when we first chatted just about the international aspect. I've only talked to a couple schools that even had an international program, but we didn't talk about what that even looks like to how do you do that. For one, set your school up to be able to have international students. What does that look like? Because obviously they need housing and a host family or boarding school or whatever that looks like. So I'd love to just spend the next 15, 20 minutes, whatever it ends up being, just talking through what does that look like if a school is listening and they're like, you know what? I've never thought about offering a boarding mentality or a boarding option or international students, to give them the kind of a couple, maybe the next three steps or so to get started and what that would look like for them.
Yeah, it was actually I got into it because it was a necessity for survival. I was running a small private faith-based school. It was struggling with its finances. As you know, most faith-based schools keep their tuition very low. Really always cover the cost. And so you're always scrambling for money. That was the first thing I learned when I moved from the public world to the private world, was that need. So I was talking with my assistant, and he was a young guy. And I said, now we have to find a new source of students, because private schools are driven by student enrollment. So we brainstormed and we came to the conclusion that we had to find any place was what if we could get kids from other countries? And that way we wouldn't be in this competitive circle that we're in right now with all the other neighboring schools. So we researched it, went to the federal government website, and I'll give you the abbreviation. It's SEVIS, SEVIS. Put those number letters in and you'll come up with it. And that is the agency that is responsible to have students coming to America. And there's a form you fill out. And we knew absolutely nothing when we started. And we just got on the computer and I did some creative writing about our program and what we had and so forth. And we filled out the form, sent it in, and there's a fee for it. It's not terribly expensive. And eventually we got contacted by them after a few months. They said, we'd like to do a site visit. So a person came out, visited us to see if we were legitimate and that we were honest in our responses. And about a year after that, we got on the list on the federal government that we could actually host international students and issue what is called an I-20, which is terminology, but an I-20 is a student visa. And so we could issue that and we could have students come to our school. And so that became an issue for us. And so once we got on the list, believe it or not, we became known, and a gentleman walked through our doors and he said, hi, I am from Syria and I have 100 students I'd like to bring to your school. And I said, I don't even have 100 students. And I said, I could never take that many. But that's how it all started. And so that's School Vision Christian School, believe it or not. That was the first school. And they were looking to relocate some of their schools from the East Coast to the East Coast. And so we had the location where we're at in Maryland. And so that's how it all started. And I think the first year I took 30 students. And my guy, and I said, now we have to figure out how we're going to house these kids. And so we went with the host family route. And the host family proved to be probably proud in the beginning, in that we connected up one or two kids with a family. And so that did a couple things. You got the kids, the international kids, a little bit about American life. So that the Americans got to understand a little bit about the kids. And developed some really close ties. It was amazing at the end of the year when the kids went back home, you know, for summer break, how many tears were shed because it was like leaving their brothers or their sister. But that was good. But also the other side of it, being sort of entrepreneurial, I'm like, well, you know, as I get this money for these kids, I should pay the host families a little bit, with the idea being, all right, if I paid the host families, they'll probably come back to me in tuition. So it became sort of a tuition subsidy kind of a deal. So if you were a parent and you had kids in school, that offset your cost. So it was win-win, both from a financial point of view, but also it was win-win from the social perspective and also the idea, you know, you're in a family situation, so you're sharing faith because we wanted our kids to go to church and so forth. And also it became an academic win, because when we brought those international kids into school, all of a sudden our curriculum had to notch up. Because when you bring Asian students into your school, they have a different way of looking at life and academics. It's just their nature. And so all of a sudden my teachers had to notch up, which, you know, that meant I had to notch up as principal, and I had to start training my children and teaching them what they needed to learn. And one of the first things is how to accept a kid from, because they don't behave like American kids. For instance, one of the first lessons my teachers had to learn was Asian kids will not look you in the eye, because looking you directly into your face is disrespect. But our teachers couldn't understand that. And they said, well, you know, they're being disrespectful. They're not looking at me when I'm talking to them. I mean, simple things like that become a very, very important for me, the principal, to be sharing and training the teacher. So it's more than just getting the paperwork and just getting approval. You have to prepare your staff for it. I have to say, I did some preparation, but doing a much better job. But it was phenomenal. My program, the school became better. And also financially, we became better, because I could charge three or four times what a domestic student's tuition was. So it doesn't take long mathematics out of it. The skill of it is getting to blend the culture and have a culture that's accepting, because we have a tendency at times in faith-based communities to be sort of narrow-minded. I don't mean that in a way. See that as a tendency. And we can be discriminatory, indirectly, not meaning to, but we can. So it really encouraged my parents to get a broader view. And from that, I actually developed schools I actually were developing schools when I retired from the faith-based school in China at the time. We had a site in China, in Nanjing, with Grace Academy. The kids never came to America but we helped them with their curriculum. We did teacher training. And so we got paid, because of our support, per child while they were in China. And they came to us generally their senior year about their high school education and go on to school, because the is to get to American university. And so it has nothing but paid dividends. Now, Global Vision Christian School, they actually have campuses, three campuses in Korea, and they are a boarding school. And so that was another aspect that I had to learn about, was boarding. So currently here at GVCS Broad Fording, We have kids, we actually are housing them in a hotel until we develop a dormitory of our own. Some host families, but because we have so many kids, it's impossible to have enough host families. So we have the kids in a hotel. So anybody in education, in the faith-based side, there's so much gain to have your students rubbing shoulders with these international kids. And it opens up possibilities like international activities, International Day. It's amazing how our kids got excited when they did an International Day. They cooked food and shared it with the other kids. It's amazing. I mean, activity, but I mean, it really had impact. Chinese New Year, what did that mean? That changed the whole culture about what New Year is. And then habits about how marriages work and the traditions and the language. There are just so many positives. There are far more positives than negatives. Once you get past doing and filling out all the forms and getting your service approval, after that, it's really an exciting opportunity.
Hey, School Success Makers, just a really quick break from the episode to highlight our amazing sponsors over at America's Christian Credit Union. They are celebrating 65 years of service this year, and they provide essential school banking services and a tuition financing program for schools looking to reduce their risk and administrative burden. And you guys can find out all about them on their website, americaschristiancu.com/schools. That's americaschristiancu.com/schools. They are amazing over there, and I always like to say, if you're a school that collects tuition and you have a hard time collecting all of tuition at the end of the year, maybe it comes around May, June, you're like, man, we only got collected 95 or 98% of what tuition was owed to our school. One of the things you can do is have your parents get a tuition financing loan through the credit union, and then they pay the credit union directly, and you get your funds up front at the beginning of the year as the school. So you don't have to chase people throughout the year, and you can focus on what you do best, and that is loving and educating your students. And it doesn't cost your school anything to do it. So check them out online, americaschristiancu.com/schools. All right, back to the show.
And the time frame too, Jack, is it when you decide to do it, to getting it started, is it, can it be fairly quick doing it through that organization?
Yeah, it can be. A year would probably be the length of it, all said and done. It isn't, you know, it isn't ongoing, doesn't take multiple years, but typically you would get it done if you're diligent about it.
Okay. Is it something too for that they look for? Is there certain things that that organization looks for that maybe the people should be aware of? Is there like size of the school that they care about? If they have a building that they own or rent, if the, you know, if it's Christian, non-Christian, is there things that that organization cares about that people maybe should hear about?
No, I think there's not much. They really are looking at, do you have a program that's worthwhile? Do you have facilities that are, you know, healthy wise? Are they in good shape? Do you have, you know, a faculty? So they're looking at your organization to make sure that you are legitimately a school. And whether you're faith-based or not is immaterial. Really not in the, And really, when they come, they're just talking to you and asking you questions about your program. And, you know, they want to know, how do you issue the I-20s, who's monitoring them, because you have to assign a person to do that kind of work. But other than that, it's a very simple process, far more simple than I would had expected.
And once that process is done, I know you had that guy knock on your door and say, hey, can you take 100 of our students from overseas? Does that organization help place students with you, or, you know, connect you? Or are you then having to, you know, most schools, their marketing can be a really, you know, hard spot for them to like use markets or their own community, where their community doesn't even know that they exist where they are. Is it now going, well, now we're going to try and, we can't even tell people in our county about our school. Now we're trying to tell the world about our school to get people to come here. What does that piece look like for getting the seats filled?
Probably that is one of the harder pieces of marketing. I mean, even we face that, and we've been in it for a good many years. But as for finding students, you know, there are all kinds of agencies out there looking for schools to connect up with once you are approved. So that's not a problem. I even had an agency that you would call as a headhunter that would find students for me that would pay a fee. They were from Boston, believe it or not, Boston, Massachusetts, and that's what they did. So in every market has different possibilities. Right now, the market is moving towards Vietnam and India. They're the markets where kids will be coming from. And to stimulate my market, I sort of cheated. I sent one of my parents who liked to travel internationally. I sent him to China for 2 weeks, and actually made a presence. And that's how we made some of those connections. One of the things you'll find is you have to spend time making connections and talking. And once you build that relationship, and I build it beginning with Global Vision, this school. But other schools, it opens up. It opens up possibilities. For instance, right now, and I don't know how appropriate it would be, you know, because you're going to send this out over the airwaves, but I'm looking for schools that would like to have a partnership with an overseas schools to swap faculty, you know, for faculty experience and faculty training. I have a school in Global Vision. They would love to have American students. We would take American students tuition free. Only thing they have to pay is room and board, and go to Korea for a semester just for that experience. So we're looking at all kinds of connections, and we've sort of evolved to that particular point. But the possibilities are limitless. The reason so great Asian philosophy, at least in South Korea, and this is true also for China and Japan, education is taken so seriously that if a child sleeps more than five and a half hours a night, the parents consider them lazy. They're told you're lazy because they expect the child to get up in the morning, go to school. And in South Korea in particular, they'll go to additional schooling after school. So after you go to school a day, that evening, your parents send you to what is called hogwons. I know that sounds a little Harry Potterish, but that's what it's called. That's a word for it. Hogwon, which is a prep school. So if you're in third grade and your parents send you, you'll be taking stuff that you find in fourth and fifth grade. So the kids are always being pushed to the next level. It is very rigorous. Now, the other thing most Americans don't really realize is in these countries, one day a year, these kids take a test. The senior test will determine what they will be the rest of their life. So if you're in South Korea and you even scored the top of the test, you even have trouble with that because there's such a limited possibilities of where you can go to school because there's only, you know, Korea is not a big country and it has so many, you know, advanced institutions. So that's why they want to come to America to get into American school. But if you score poorly, and that means that you will have a job doing labor because, you know, you're not going to improve. It isn't like America. You know how we say in America, you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps. It doesn't happen in other countries as readily. And so if you do go to a school that's one of the lesser rated schools in one of those countries, your application is generally sorted out if you're more prestigious. So even in professional positions, to have a degree from a American university is very important to them. And they work for it. For instance, we have a student who was a senior this year at CS, And she just got an $80,000 a year scholarship to jump. Think about that. But she took AP exams and she got fives, which is the highest score possible on an AP exam. So she's a premier student. I like to tell you that our school had something to do with it, but no. It was her nature as a student and her, you know, her approach to studying. And these kids sometimes have to be drug out of their rooms, literally, to participate in what we would call in America fun activities, like sports or going to a movie or something, because they are so focused on their college education that they sort of lose focus. And that's one of the reasons why we have the school that we do, is so that they can get exposure to other things. And that's the other part that is so great, is that we've have lifelong family relationships developed from a family, you know, taking kids, you know, with different places. It's unbelievable, you know, what develops. But one of the things you see early on is kids are kids. You know, kids are kids. Behavior is behavior. You may not understand the kid when they first speaking their language, but you watch long enough, listen long enough, you eventually say we think them to be different. But it does take a challenge to develop a school system that can support that and weave them into the fabric of your school. But it's worth every moment.
I love this. And I would love to, in the process of wrapping up the episode, ask you a couple things of like, what are things, if you could rewind the clock, that you would have done different in the process? I know you kind of already mentioned a little bit earlier, you learned a lot in all of this. If you could rewind back to when you started the international thing, is there something that, man, what would you tell yourself then? So those that are listening who have probably never heard of this or done this, you know, before, like, what would you be telling yourself that you want to now tell the listeners?
Hey, School Success Makers, just a really quick break from the episode to highlight our amazing sponsors over at America's Christian Credit Union. They are celebrating 65 years of service this year, and they provide essential school banking services and a tuition financing program for schools looking to reduce their risk and administrative burden. And you guys can find out all about them on their website, americaschristiancu.com/schools. That's americaschristiancu.com/schools. They are amazing over there, and I always like to say, if you're a school that collects tuition and you have a hard time collecting all of tuition at the end of the year, maybe it comes around May, June, you're like, man, we only got collected 95 or 98% of what tuition was owed to our school. One of the things you can do is have your parents get a tuition financing loan through the credit union, and then they pay the credit union directly and you get your funds up front at the beginning of the year as the school. So you don't have to chase people throughout the year and you can focus on what you do best, and that is loving and educating your students. And it doesn't cost your school anything to do it. So check them out online, americaschristiancu.com/schools. All right, back to the show.
Well, I would train my faculty more intently. I hate to say to take ownership of it, but I threw my faculty into this because, you know, I was in a crisis mode and, you know, I needed to figure a way to keep us alive. And so I brought these 30 kids in and I hadn't prepared my faculty adequately. Now I know how to prepare a faculty. I have, there's several books that would be great reading that's written by people who've been through the process so they can explain to teachers what they need to expect. And somehow we are a little arrogant as Americans. We think everybody behaves like us, you know, and that's not the case. So I think cultural lessons would be a big lesson. And I would spend a little bit more time on the front end on that piece to grade it better. I think that is the key. And then cognizant, have your teachers cognizant that these kids, they're just kids. They're going to make mistakes just like any other kid, and be understanding of it and be culturally sensitive. And this is also a point where I think some schools fail. We do a pretty poor job at grace. We We talk grace, but we don't give grace. And I think sometimes we have to do that. And then the last piece is probably marketing. Marketing is always a big piece. You know, we do a bad job with that anyways, but on the international world, you know, we probably could have done a better job in marketing. And I'm trying to remediate that now with COVID. But that would be the best advice I would give. And then call guys like me that had these kids who have been in the trenches. And would you like, you know, view some names and maybe some presenters or even have somebody from one of my past teams that comes out in real time and talk to you about it, actually in service, your teachers. But if you insert time with that, it'll all come together very nicely. It's not hard. Not hard.
I love this. Well, I love it. If people want to get in contact with you, Jack, is there a way they can get in contact if they have questions after this podcast?
Yes. The easiest way, probably, I'll give you an email address. It's japplebee02@.net. Because I live in the country, I have a different kind of email address, but that's through our phone company. And my phone book, by the way, is about this thick. So that's why we have such emails. So it's japplebee@frontnet.net. So you're welcome to contact me, and I will help you every way possible.
Love it. Well, Jack, thank you for giving up your time today to hop on. Thank you for all your years in education and for helping these international students come over and helping our listeners learn about how they could potentially start an international piece of their school. I just really appreciate your time today and wishing you nothing but the best.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, another huge shout out and a thank you to Jack for taking time and being on the podcast today. I love his insight of how we can add an international piece to schools. And I'm hoping, as always, you guys are able to take at least one thing away from today's episode that you can take back to your school to make it better than it is right now. And hopefully make your school some more money as well. All right. Well, as always, I always like to highlight our three free resources that we have available to you guys that we want to make sure you're not missing out on. The first one is easy. It's the podcast. You're already listening to it right now. It is free every week with new episodes with people I've interviewed, as well as some episodes I do on my own, just to help make your school more successful. That's what it's all about. We want to make sure you're tuning in every week. And if you haven't, share it with some friends. If you hear an episode you think a friend would love, send it to them. And we'd love a 5-star review if you're loving the content that we're putting out every week. The second thing that is free I guess it's not every week, it's always available, is our free resource on Facebook. It is our community called School Success Makers. We'd love you to chime in there. Join, click to add yourself to the group. I'm personally in that group. I'd love to see you in there as well. Ask questions, connect with other school leaders from all over the world. We'd love you to be a part of it. The third and final free resource we have right now is our School Success Report. It goes out weekly to all our subscribers, and it just highlights some teachers, has some great articles my team and I have written, and it is just, it's actually really, really well done, guys. We want to make sure you're getting it, not missing out on it, and it is free. You can find it on our website, schoolsuccessmakers.com. That's schoolsuccessmakers.com. Top right corner, School Success Report. Enter your email. Make sure you're getting that every single week. All right. As always, guys, if you have any comments, questions, concerns, or ideas, message us through our website and let us know. If there's a guest you think we should interview, or if you think we should interview you, we'd love to hear from you. And as always, we'll be back here next week with another awesome episode of the School Success Podcast. We'll see you then.